Welcome everybody. Today we are going to discuss industrial relationships. We are going to discuss the importance of industrial relationships. We are going to discuss handling of staff relations, listening to workers' problems, morals and motivations, which helps in strengthening of labor relations, enforcing work discipline, and dealing with misconduct and disciplinary action. When we mean industrial relationship, we mean in the relationship of the industry with its workers. We mean the relationship of the employers with its employees. We're going to go through the industrial introduction to what is industrial relationship, morale and motivation, provisions for incentives to work, and grievance redressals. The importance of discipline and misconduct and disciplinary action. And obviously conflicts. Let us start discussing with what is IR, industrial relationship. It's the relationship between the employers and employees in the course of employment in an industrial organization. Industrial relationship is used to denote the collective relationship between management and the worker. It's used to cover all aspects of industrial life as trade, unions, collective bargaining, workers' grievances, workers' participation, workers in management, discipline, and industrial disputes. According to J.T. Dunlop, industrial relationships are the complex interrelationships among managers, workers, and agencies of the government. Institutional factors, economic factors, technological, psychological, and political factors all affect industrial relations. When you look at it, the institution, the factors of the institution, what is the work environment, what is the work requirement, how is the management, all affect the relationship. Economic factors, which strata of society are you hiring from? What is the economic benefit by working in your organization? What is the economic environment around? How much of technological factors, like how much of technology is being used? What is the kind of technology? What is the other factors within technology which is affecting the work and the relationship? Psychological factors is in the society which your employees are coming from, the environment which they are working in, the interpersonal relationship which they affect, and of course the political factors. No one can forget the political factors. So industrial relationship has a very wide scope in hospitality. Scope expands to other areas of management because of its elastic nature. So basically, when we are discussing industrial relations, going back to the slide, in hospitality, it's important to understand that hospitality is ever adapting nature in terms of its business. It's got global influence. A hotel in a particular area gets along with it global influence because people from different cultures come to different areas. There is larger organizations have trade unions. So there is a lot of scope. There's elasticity in its work environment. So industrial relations have become a very important aspect. And the whole chapter is only based on your employees and their relationship with the management and how can we improve it. So let's look at the role of morale and motivation. Motivations are many types. One is of achievement. So in order to achieve a particular goal, it's a motivation. If in a 100-room hotel you do 110 room nights, 120 room nights, more than the rooms which you have because of you selling innovatively to increase your occupancy percentage. That's an achievement. So you create motivational incentives for the for once you achieve something, there'll be a motivation which will incentive which will be given to you. That creates a motivation. Affiliation motivation is you are motivated because you are affiliated with someone. The influence of that someone on you is very strong, so that creates this motivation. You are motivated to, then there's competence motivation. You're motivated to show your competence, to achieve your competence. And you're motivated for power. The more you grow in the hotel, the more power you get. Morale is basically the feeling of a person. How I feel towards my family, how I feel towards my physical self, how I feel psychological condition of me. It's how I feel towards in relationship to my job. So a feeling which is there within me is my morale. Much of the value of morale and motivation, it is invaluable. It's intangible, but it's invaluable. Motivation can't be felt, can't be touched and seen. Motivation is felt from within. You motivate a person, you increase the morale of the person. And it's invaluable because it gives you the desired results when you give incentives. So you motivate a person to do a, achieve a particular target and you're giving him an incentive. Like I gave an example, 220 room nights in a 100 room hotel. And you will get an incentive. Or attain 5 crores as a GOP for the month and take 1% incentive. So you're giving an incentive. Now that incentive drives the entire organization or the entire department, depending on what it is. 1% GOP will be entire organization towards achieving it, which is divided among all. So it, what does it do? There is a reward to achievement. There is a reward to a goal. There is a reward to a task. So that motivates and increases my morale. I want to achieve. I'll do it. So, and that creates loyalty. You recognize somebody's achievement, no, at the end of the day. So it is going to create loyalty. Because it creates loyalty, it will reduce your turnover of staff and increase your turnover of business. It will increase satisfaction of employees because there is gratification in available for the exercise, which will improve productivity. It will also improve thinking out of the box. People will try innovative methods to do things. Will create a ladder for growth. The incentive to work can be both economic provision or non-economic. Economic is what I said, 1% of your GOP if you achieve a certain amount of GOP. Gross operating profit. That's economic. Non-economic is a pat on the back also. The employee of the month may not result in any value addition in terms of money for instant gratification. What would extend a certification for instant gratification? So they're both. It is very important that organizations make provisions for incentives. Incentives always help build character and teams. Like I said, give you an example. You do 5 crores GOP in this month, or 1 crore or 50 lakhs, whatever, depending on the size of your hotel. So there will be a 1% of the GOP. 1% of the 5 crores, which would be equally divided among all employees. Now that is the instruction given to the general manager. What does the general manager do? Gathers all his HODs. Divides that 5 crores into 1% or whatever GOP is achieved. Says if you achieve 6 crore GOP, you will get this and it will be equally divided among every employee of yours. You increase it so that the, you know, the risk reward is much higher. The HODs then gather all their respective supervisors and managers and convey the same. They convey it to their employees. So now everyone's got one goal. You created a goal. Right? So the whole organization is working towards that one goal. They will fight hard to attain that goal. They will come up with methods and innovative techniques. They will come up with new ways of doing business. They will come up, I mean, this is one example. You can do different examples also. They will come up with different techniques. They will work harder and smarter. They will work perfectly. They will bring out all their productivity. They have something to look forward to for achieving that particular goal. Whether it is 1% of the GOP, or if for a sales executive it is 2,000 room nights, 3,000 room nights a month, whatever it is, and they will get certain X reward. So that reward becomes their goal. To attain the reward as their own personal goal, they are self-motivated now. Because the incentive is self-motivating them. They work harder to get that. So that is a monetary goal. So people work enhances because of incentives. Incentives also lead to a happier, healthier and a more focused workforce. They are happier because they are concentrating on one aspect and they are doing everything possibly they can to attain that aspect in their circle of influence. They are happier because they know once they achieve it, they will get a reward. Once they get the reward, it makes them even happier. They become healthier because they are focused on it. Now, grievance. When we get to grievance, redressals are of many kinds. Grievances are of many kinds. There's salary, wages, grievance. There's grievance towards supervision, grievance towards working conditions. Then collective bargaining is there, seniority, promotions, designations, etc., miscellaneous. So a person is not happy with the salary. It's a grievance. I was told I would get Y after 6 months of working. I am yet getting X. I am not happy. I am working double shifts all the time, but I am only being paid that much for working a single shift. I am unhappy with my salary and wages. My supervisor keeps screaming at me for no rhyme or reason. I am unhappy with the supervisor. The floor is always wet. I keep slipping. This area is not suitable for service. I have to serve there. I am unhappy with my working condition. I am deserving of a promotion. My designation is not right as per what I have. So there are lots of grievances which arise in an organization. I am unhappy with my colleague. I am unhappy with the management. I am unhappy with the supervisors. I am unhappy with the fellow worker. This guy always talks rudely. I do the work, he takes the credit. My management is not doing anything right. They're not even looking. I'm doing the work, this fellow is taking the credit. He is getting all the promotion, he's getting everything. Now these grievances are very genuine and real. And employees, when they are grieved, it reflects in the output of their work. In grievances in a large organization happen all the time. Especially in a hospitality organization where you're working with all levels of education. All levels of education put in hard work for a hotel to work. My manager keeps sitting and just making more money than me. And I am the one who is working my donkey's ass. I am not being recognized. He is getting more promotions. What about me? What about me? That is the whole crux of any grievance. So grievances is a part of the hospitality industry. It's never going to go. Internal grievances are of many kinds. And it's a high stressful job. I mean, there are customers screaming at me and then this guy screaming at me. Do I face the customer screaming or do I face his screaming? Grievances of many kinds. And grievances need to be addressed at all points of time. Addressing grievance is one of the key aspects to creating motivational spaces, to creating self-motivated employees. Misunderstanding leads to grievance sometimes. You have to address them. You have to address salary issues. The person will leave you and go away. A good potential employee, you don't want him to run away, go to your competition. Because you are not giving him the salary you promised. Make sure you correct. Have corrective measures. So when you have a grievance which comes to you as an HR, it cannot be ignored. It needs to be addressed. Both parties need to sit down and address it. Sometimes just differences cause grievances. Sometimes high stress environment in the work causes grievances. Sometimes when the employees are giving you a grievance, a genuine grievance, the condition is not right there. And it is not in that employee's hand to correct it, and the person who's going to correct it is ignoring. So you have to address grievances. Grievance dressal is a must. Especially when you need to give your employees a good motivational backup so that they can perform as per your standards. Discipline is a very important aspect. Positive discipline creates self-motivated employees. They create self-motivated desires, actions. Conduct of an employee is very important. Now, all hospitality organization forms disciplinary codes. As a hotel, you have a set discipline which has to be acceptable to everyone who's working. Everyone has to have the discipline and to do their job, to come on time, have clean uniforms, to be nicely groomed. All these are set. And if people break these disciplines, it doesn't augur well for the hospitality industry. So discipline is one of the most important aspects. A 6 o'clock shift cannot start at 7:30 in the morning. It has to start at 6 o'clock in the morning. Discipline is a must. Discipline is the key. People have to be disciplined. They have to communicate effectively. Effective communication creates discipline, and discipline creates effective communication. Being disciplined, being principled, being on time, being properly groomed, not back answering, these are all keys. Being able to communicate your work, your desire, they are keys to the hospitality industry. You know, when you're laying a table, the discipline in making sure the fork and spoons are aligned. They manage the aesthetics, the hospitality industry. Discipline, an undisciplined person will never succeed in the hotel industry. Person's lazy, doesn't come on time, doesn't have eye for detail, has no discipline, no control over himself. Will never succeed in the hospitality industry. Hospitality industry is all about discipline. If you're not disciplined, you're not going to do well in the hotel industry. That's a given. Misconduct. Every breach of discipline, there has to be a penalty, which would vary from breaches to breaches. Normal unwritten rule is you cannot be more than 15 minutes late to your shift. Not only punching in at the time card, to your shift, standing at your this. If you're more than 15 minutes late for 3 given days, one day salary is deducted. In fact, you should be on time all the time. So there's a penalty. It's a small penalty. Bigger indisciplinary action. You misbehave with a female colleague. There are different levels of misconduct leads to different levels of punishment. The gravity of the situation will drive the punishment. Some of these indisciplinary aspects are also related to laws. Misconduct with a female colleague by a male colleague is sexual harassment. Full stop. all hotel companies write their disciplinary book procedure is written. How are they going to examine it? How are they going to investigate it? And what are the guidelines for misconduct? Is it termination? Is it police complaint? Is it written warning, verbal warning, written warning one, written warning two, written warning three, out? What are your guidelines? So one is identifying the misconduct. You know when the misconduct has happened, what is the misconduct? What is the gravity of the misconduct? Does it require warning, verbal warning? 15 minutes late, twice may result in a verbal warning. One day salary cut. Happens 4 times, 5 times. First warning, written warning. Happens more than that, after that again, second written warning. Happens again, suspension. Then the management comes to a conclusion that, well, this guy can't improve. He'll never be on time, he's making everybody else also late. He's working, affecting everybody's work. Termination of the plan. This is task-oriented misconduct. But you can go directly to termination. Now, once you know what the discipline is about, misconduct is about. Let's say it is misbehaving with a female colleague. It's a misconduct. So you frame the charges. You speak to the person. Get the defendant's own explanation. Why is a person accusing you of misconduct, misbehaving with them? Then you start an inquiry, issue notice of an inquiry. So how do you do inquiry? You form a committee. Now you find an inquiry officer who will inquire. So that person, maybe from the HR department, maybe otherwise, that person would go and talk to any witnesses. All the other colleagues, this person behaved with anybody else. Thorough inquiry will go to the CCTV cameras to try and figure out if this has happened, where it happened, when they, is there any proof of it? It's happened otherwise. How other employees feel about it? Then the person will make a report. It will go to the committee or the disciplinary authority. For sexual harassment cases, it will be a committee as per law. Committee will then decide, after keeping all facts in mind and keeping the defendant's explanation and the complainant's explanation, decide and make a ruling and communicate the order. So that is your conflict of discipline. It's a very important aspect. Hotel is a vast environment. Indiscipline happens all the time. The hotel is run by people. People are human beings. To be disciplined is to have a very, very strong mind. When a person is indisciplined, mind is not that strong. Anyone at any point of time can do any indiscipline. The scope of being indisciplined is very high. So you have to have your procedures. These are a couple of examples I give you. One was this. One is this. Misconduct and disciplinary action. So there are two different examples, but each situation may have its different way. And a hotel needs to document all its indisciplines in the standard FAQs and ensure that it it follows a particular procedure which it lays out for itself as per the local laws and as per everything else. Sometimes some indisciplines are so grave that you may have to file a police complaint. So action has to be taken as per what the level of crime is. Now let's get to conflict. So you have lots of conflicts. Organized conflict, unorganized conflict, hierarchical conflict, functional conflict, line and staff conflict, formal and informal conflict. Organized conflict. What is an organized conflict? Unions. They can organize a conflict with the management. For anything. Yeah. We want 30% raise. So conflict can happen. Strikes can happen. Those are organized conflicts. They have to be dealt with union to management. Then you have the unorganized conflict, erupted out of a situation and spreads across. So that's unorganized conflict. That has to be taken care of between management and staff. Then hierarchical conflict. You have a conflict with the general manager as an HOD. You think you know more than the general manager. So there was a hierarchical conflict. Someone is promoted before you and above you. You believe you are better equipped for that position, creates hierarchical conflict. Then you have functional conflict. Conflict between housekeeping and front office. Conflict between F&B, service and kitchen. Functional conflict. So as simple as this. I, as a front office, got a call from the guest. Said, I require two towels. You called housekeeping desk and supervisor and you told him to send two towels to this room. But towels don't reach. The guest calls me and screams with me, there's conflict between me and you. Functional conflict always happens. It's a given. No hotel can be without conflict. The line worker and the staff. And formal and informal conflicts. Conflicts are given in hospitality. When a lot of people from various backgrounds come together and work as a group, conflicts are always created. Conflicts always happen. In a high-stress job, with both people are highly stressed, conflicts happen. In a physical environment, conflicts happen. Conflict resolution is a must. But conflicts are usually under control. Because the cause of every conflict is normally common. Guest is unhappy about something, it creates a conflict. More often than not, unions will not have conflicts with the management in hospitality organizations. The very unusual situations create major conflicts. So, and the conflicts are small. They are tackleable. They can be sorted. Two people get angry at each other and then they sit and have a cup of tea. Conflict resolution happens in hospitality very quickly. Because there is very little scope for conflict. If a conflict happens within people, the scope, it reflects onto the customer. Both the people can lose their jobs. So the scope is very limited. And it's all highly, if the workers union go on strike in hotels, customers will stop coming. Then the strike becomes useless if customers stop coming. Because regaining that business takes time. So if you are demanding higher wages and you go on strike, the hotel will shut down. If the hotel shuts down, your higher wages demand becomes useless. So the scope of conflict is limited. And the scope of resolution is very high because of its perishable nature of the industry. With that, I would like to say thank you very much.